Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Welcome to Expressions from St. Paul, the radio ministry of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Sacramento. We are honored to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, the renowned Dr. Ephraim Williams. We're located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Our guest speaker this week is one of our own prolific associate ministers, Reverend Francis Moore, and he shares a powerful Christmas message, and he titles it In the Fullness of Time.
And Jesus came into the world to be a gift unto the world. But and we look at it, and many times we imagine and we think and we get excited about the baby Jesus. And yes, the baby Jesus was also. But also in that fullness of time, God brought forth to mankind the answer to man's dilemma. He brought forth the answer, I say, to man's problem. God brought the gift, and the gift was the answer. God brought the gift, and the gift was the King of Kings. And no, his name was not LeBron. His name was Jesus.
And if you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 down through 5. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
According to the scripture, day 6 of creation, God created man. God made man in his own image. God made man a perfect man, a righteous man. God made man to have a relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. As God completed the task of making man, the word says that he said it's all good. All was well. All was well with man, all was well with God and man. And then somewhere after that, the scripture doesn't tell us exactly when, but it says after that happened, there was a problem that arose. And man, this righteous man that God had created, this man that God had formed to have intimacy with him, this man that was in perfect fellowship with God, decided that he would do his own thing. And as he did his own thing in disobedience to what God had told him to do, then man was forced to face an altogether different life. With the disobedience came death. Death, sin, became a reality in this beautiful creation that God had made. And from that point on, from the point of the fall, God has worked with man to bring him back into that right relationship, to bring him back in fellowship, that God may dwell with him again. And so from that point, God began to work with man, to prepare man, to get man ready for what God had intended him to be. I've learned that in life, anything that is worthwhile takes time. And much of what transpires is not seen by everyone else. There's a lot of behind the scenes work and stuff that has to go on in order to have something be complete and something be well. I was thinking of how as a young man, I desired to have a family. As a young man, I thought that was going to be the thing I wanted to do. I wanted to have a family. I thought that it would be so great when you have a family, you know. And so time began to progress, and I still had that thought in mind of how great it's going to be to have a family. But I didn't realize that what all was involved in having a family. You know, I didn't know that what all it took in order for me to have a family. And as I began to flash back on it, I realized that before I could have a family, first of all, I had to come into this world. And so God had brought Ezekiel and Bessie Moore into existence so that Francis Moore could come into existence. And so Francis Moore could somehow have a family. Well, we all know that I couldn't have a family by myself, right? So God also realized that there was an Elmo and a Martha that needed to come on the scene in order to bring Cheryl into the world so that Cheryl could marry Francis and Francis and Cheryl could have a family. And not only that, but even after bringing them together, realized that there was so much that was going to go into the making of this family. Wow, the behind this, the stuff that you have to do to prepare for a birth. You know, I remember our first child, and we, you know, the whole, everything about our life had to change. You know, we realize that now we've got to prepare for someone else coming into this world. So the room had to be designed and things had to be bought and all the things that we were doing in order to prepare for the coming of the child. It was a process. It was quite a process. And even when the child came, I didn't really know what I thought I knew. All I'm trying to say is that it was something else. And if that was the process I had to go through, you know, I was 30 some years old before my family became family. You know, before my family was complete, that's all I'm trying to say. So if it took God 30 years to get me ready and to get us ready for each other and for a family, can you imagine how it was when for God to prepare the whole world for his child? It was quite a process, according to the people who say they know. It was like almost 4,000 years. As God prepared the world in order to receive his son. A long time. As we look through that, we see that the first thing I believe after the fall that became really significant, we find that the people that God had created began to get worse and worse and worse. Things were going downhill rather than uphill. God who had designed them to have a glorious life, and they were determined to live what? A wicked life. And because of that wickedness, God had to come and show them how much he detested that which was not holy and righteous. God had to demonstrate. And so we find that he brought around a flood that was able to let them know how grave it was that they had left God and how disappointed and how God hates that which is ugly. All right. God brought them to the point of understanding that he does not tolerate, he does not enjoy, and he, matter of fact, he detests that which is wicked. And so we find that he wiped out basically the world, leaving Noah and his family that they might be able to begin moving forward, that hope that they might see and realize, first of all, the great disconnect that had existed because of the fall. God continued to move on through time, and he began to show himself unto mankind in his trying to get them back. And so we find that we have the law coming into existence. We have Abraham coming around. We have the law that became very important. Through the law, God began to show man his sinful self. Through the law, God was able to show man how righteous God was. He began to give them understanding of the principles, a godly principle, so that they might be ready to receive his gift that he wanted to share with them. And so we work through the law. We find that they work through it, and they struggle with the law, unable to really obtain all that God, get them to the place God wanted them to be. The law, as good as it was, as righteous as much as it pointed out to mankind God's way, it was also too much for mankind to hold up. So God continued to work, to continue to deal with them and to share with them. God sent the judges, he sent the kings, he sent rulership, he allowed them to move forward. He developed a nation that he called his own, and he showed them how it was to be under godly leadership. And yet they were not satisfied. It continued to go in the way, but God was still trying to bring to the people the answer for their great dilemma. Finally, God began to see, sent the prophets. And the prophets began to proclaim. The prophets began to let the world know that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He began to share with them that his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shared with them that there was going to be born in Bethlehem a new child, a babe that was going to come under the lineage of David. He shared with them that this was going to happen, that the answer was on the way. He prophesied how it was going to happen. And so the people got excited to a degree. They began to look forward to and want and anticipate the coming of this Messiah. The coming of the Messiah. And as they got involved, as they got anxious and began to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, God continued his work in preparing not only them, but preparing the scene for them. So I see God realizing that his prophecy, knowing that his prophecy must be fulfilled. He began to put things in place. He began to put things in place. Because the word was out, he had prophesied and declared to the world that the child would come through a virgin. He finally brought into this world a virtuous woman who he knew would be able to perform what needed to be performed. And so we find that throughout 42 generations it took in order to get down to Mary. All that time, but finally he brought birth to Mary. Mary, nothing extraordinary about her as we know about her at birth. Nothing extraordinary in the sense that she just was born into this world. But God had chosen her to be that vessel that would bring forth the gift that he had for the world. So he prepared Mary. He raised her up and gave her understanding and gave her a knowledge of himself. And then he also prepared Brother Joseph, because Brother Joseph was going to have to deal with Sister Mary. And back in that day, much more than it is today, you know, women not having a husband was a bad thing. It was a very bad thing. They would be ostracized and even could be killed. But God worked with Mary. God worked with Mary. He sent the angel down. He dispatched the angel to come down and to visit Mary and to confirm in Mary that she was going to bring forth a child. Mary, not understanding how can this take place, knowing she had not known a man. God shared with her that she would be overtaken by the Holy Spirit, and she would be conceived by the seed would be conceived by God. Mary became that vessel that God needed. The angel also became dispatched to deal with Brother Joseph, as he had to deal with Sister Mary, who was looking at appearing to be a person of disgrace rather than a person of honor. But God confirmed in Brother Joseph, yes, it's all good, Joseph. It's all good. This is mine. Mary has not been unfaithful. That which is in her is of me. So Joseph, I want you to just not be her husband, but don't touch her. Don't touch her, because that which she's carrying is of God. So God prepared Mary. God prepared Joseph. God prepared Caesar. Because the arrangement, the word had said that the child was going to be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were not in Bethlehem. So God had to get them to Bethlehem. And in order to get them to Bethlehem, he had Augustus make a decree that everyone would have to go back to their hometown. So Joseph found himself on the way back to Bethlehem, because he was of what? The house and lineage of David. And that's home place. And so Joseph, so as God used Augustus to prepare the way in order to make it necessary for Joseph and Mary to get to where God had said they would be. We've also following here that this whole thing, as it began to unfold, we see that God also did some working with the innkeeper. Because as they were going to Bethlehem, many others were going to Bethlehem. And they obviously were a little lagging. They weren't the first ones, because by the time they got to where they were going, all the inns were full. And there was no room in the inn. And yet Mary had come to the point that she needed a place to stay. Not even realizing, I don't believe, that this was the night. And so as Joseph, I'm sure, we can imagine him running around from end to end, trying to find a place. But once again, God, in his preparation of bringing the gift to the world, had prepared an inn that had a stable. And he prepared the innkeeper so that they would have compassion on Joseph and Mary and allow them to stay in the stable. And so as they traveled and they came to the place, they finally began to rest in the stable with the animals. Little stinky place, I'm sure. Yes, sir. Nothing comfortable, but this was the fulfillment. Yes, and at that point in time, the fullness of time arrived. And in the fullness of time, at the exact right purposeful point, moment, that God designed his son to come into the world. Jesus was born. And Jesus came into the world to be a gift unto the world. But and we look at it, and many times we imagine and we think and we get excited about the baby Jesus. And yes, the baby Jesus was also. But also in that fullness of time, God brought forth to mankind the answer to man's dilemma. He brought forth the answer, I say, to man's problem. You know, now I know that some of us are basketball folks, and there was a player that called himself the answer. Y'all know that there was a guy that called himself the answer. AI was not the answer. The answer's name was Jesus. Okay, his name was Jesus. God brought the gift, and the gift was the answer. God brought the gift, and the gift was the King of Kings. And no, his name was not LeBron. His name was Jesus. Oh yeah, he brought the answer. He brought life for mankind. He wrapped his gift up, and the gift not only was the answer, the King of Kings, but the gift was all that we ever would need. The gift. The gift that God gave us in the fullness of time. And I don't know, I'm not going to go through changes and try to tell you how they said it was December 25th, because it doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. I know that he was born in time and on time, at the time that God designed. I know that. So in the fullness of time, God brought forth this awesome gift. And you know what else? This gift was the goat, the real goat, the real goat, the greatest of all time. This was what God brought to the world, the real goat. None better, none greater, none will ever compare to the gift that God gave us in the fullness of time. As God brought us this awesome gift, he brought it to the world. He offered to the world life, light, hope, all in this gift, this beautiful gift that he had given us. And you know something about gifts? We have different ways of dealing with gifts. I remember growing up, my father had a hard time opening gifts. He would just admire the wrapping. He would sit there and admire the wrapping and say, it's too pretty to unwrap. You know, that was, you know, he admired the wrapping, and it'd be a long time. We're trying, okay, daddy, okay, come on, okay, you know. But he admired the wrapping. And that's good. Some of us, we get past opening the present, opening the wrap. We look at it, we admire it, we may even like it. But we find it to be a special occasion thing. You know, we don't necessarily put the gift to use for what it was given. You know, it's like, this is special. You know, so we put it aside and we use it maybe on the holiday, or maybe we pick it up on those special days. You know what I'm saying? We don't necessarily use it regularly because it's special. And then there's some that use the gift for the purpose for which it was created. And they really appreciate the gift. You know, I'm a person that, you know, I love gifts, and I love for people to know that I love the gift. You know, so if you give it to me on Monday, chances are I'm gonna have it on Monday night or Tuesday morning. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be dealing with it immediately, because I like, you thought enough about me to give it to me, then hey, I think enough about you to put it to use, you know, whatever it is. And unfortunately, just as we respond to the natural gift, Many of us respond to the gift of God the same way. There's some who, you know, just like the thought of the gift. So we look at the pretty gift. We love the pretty gift. And the pretty gift never does anything for us. We know that Jesus was a baby, and we realize, and year after year, we recognize that baby Jesus. We sing about baby Jesus. It's exciting. It's good. It's all good. Except that we never fulfill the purpose for which the gift was given. Then there are others of us. There's others of us who look at the gift and appreciate, say, isn't this awesome? Look what we have going. But we don't put it to use. We don't deal with it unless we're in crisis mode. When things get hard and heavy, or we don't know what to do, then we're going to call on Jesus to come and be our whatever we need at that point in time. When things are going good, Jesus is all good, but I don't really need you right now. You know, just when things are gruesome, do I really need Jesus to intervene? So I deal with Jesus on special occasions, on the holidays, on these big days. That's when I deal with Jesus. But the gift that God gave the world, was to be experienced by each one of us. It's not something that we want to set aside. It's not something to look at. Isn't, you know, and I remember, I'm thinking that as I grew up in life, every year we celebrated Christmas. Every year we celebrated Christmas. We did the church thing, we did the choirs, we did the plays, we did all that. We celebrated Christmas. But in 1965, I had a new experience. 1965, Uncle Sam determined that I needed to be of his service. And he sent me down to Fort Polk, Louisiana. I don't know if you know anything about Fort Polk, but it was not a place I wanted to be. But I was down there in Fort Polk, Louisiana, sort of feeling sorry for myself, miles and miles away from those that I loved and loved me. Finding myself longing for something. And I finally got quiet long enough for God to share with me the answer, what I was longing for. He opened my eyes and my heart that I might see that what I needed was Christmas to become a reality in my life. What I needed was for Christ to come alive in me. What I needed was a Savior for me. Yeah, the world, he came for the world, but until I was able to personalize that gift, and then I was able to live out and to enjoy the gift and appreciate the gift and realize that I had so much more. And so when Christmas came, even though I was still in Fort Polk, Louisiana, cold all by myself, there was a new appreciation. There was a new celebration of Christmas. Because I knew without a doubt that Jesus was born. Because not only he had come to the world, he had come to me. Yes, sir. That was my fullness of time. in that fullness of time, God made himself known unto Francis Moore. And I'm saying to you this morning, God desires all of us to experience Christmas for ourselves. Oh yeah, we need to experience for ourselves that we might celebrate in reality, not just all the periphery, not just the fancy stuff, not just the whatevers, you know. But we can celebrate whether we have a gift or we don't have a gift. We understand the gift that we have received is a life gift. It's good forever. You know, it's good forever. And so the admonition today is that we might have a real celebration. I'm convinced that you can't really celebrate Christmas if Christ is not in your life. Or you can have the stuff, but you can't really celebrate Christmas until Christ has become real in your life. So if you're here today, and maybe you are still looking at the gift, still enjoying the wrapping, maybe you're still seeing Jesus just as that baby, I don't know. But if you haven't had an experience with him, I invite you today to let this be your fullness of time. Because God has been working with you all from point A to all the way to where you are. He's been trying to reveal himself and show himself and woo you in from day one up until now. And so maybe this, he's saying, this is your Christmas day. This should be your Christmas day, a new day for you. That I might know, you might know that Jesus is truly alive. In the fullness of time, Jesus comes to bring life to all. God bless you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Friends, after listening to the word, Spirit of Christ always moved through and moved within the body of Christ. If you're here today and have not accepted Christ, we invite you to come. We'd be glad to have you as part of the kingdom, as part of the local church. Now the Spirit speaks. You have to listen to him. As he speaks to you, yield to him. You're here this morning. Will you come? 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 Will you say yes to him? Will you come? Will you say yes to him? Jesus. Let us walk in it. Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you come? Will you come? Come. Will you come? Amen. If you just would relax for a few moments, then we'll all be going together. Will you, child, lead us in prayer?